Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Our next guest is a very familiar voice to anyone who's listened to NPR over the past 3.5 decades. Cokie Roberts worked as NPR's congressional correspondent for 10 years before she moved into TV and became co-anchor with Sam Donaldson of ABC's This Week.
Now she's a political commentator for NPR's Morning Edition and ABC News. And tonight she'll be at the Fenn School in Concord to talk about her latest book, which came out earlier this year, about how the wives, mothers, and sisters of America's founding fathers helped forge the nation.
It tells the story of some of America's first ladies, including Martha Washington, Abigail Adams, and Dolly Madison, as well as patriots like Deborah Sampson, who disguised herself as a man and fought in the Revolution. It's based on a book she published in 2004, but this is an illustrated version aimed at children, and it's called Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies. And Cokie Roberts, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you. And there I was giggling in the background while you all were reading this very professional introduction. But the
notion
of 3.5 decades, Anthony, please. I mean, I remember you as a toddler. And this is...
You mean when I first got to NPR?
Yes. What year was that?
I was a little bigger than a toddler.
But not
1981.
Much. 1981. Yeah. Well, that is a few decades ago, isn't it?
Feels like 3.5 decades.
See, now Meghna can laugh in the background, too.
Well, let me ask you about that. So when I first got to NPR, you were covering Congress, and I learned from reading this book that it was your interest in history that inspired you to get into covering politics.
Well, I of course, grew up in politics, as you know. Both of my parents were in Congress. But I really, it's sort of hard, chicken and egg, you know. If you like history, you want to know what's going on in the history you're living in. And if you are interested in the period you're living in, you want to know what came before.
Right.
And that's particularly true for covering Congress and politics because, as you well know, our elected officials constantly are invoking the founding fathers, almost always inaccurately. I mean, almost always. And so, really, if you've done it as long for 3.5 decades,
I touched a nerve.
Yeah. Actually, that's just part of it. But you have to go back and read what they said about things like the right to bear arms or religion in the public square or why you have to be born in America to be president and stuff like that, because it all keeps coming back up. And so I got to feeling very friendly with the founding fathers, or at least some of them, and started wondering what on earth the women were up to while they were creating a country.
And it's a great set of questions that have really interesting answers. And I'm interested how you researched the lives of women, because you make the point that the founding fathers wrote hundreds of letters and articles that have been preserved and published for centuries. Not so with these founding women.
Well, they might have written them, but they weren't saved.
Right.
And with the exception of, God love them, the Massachusetts Historical Society, I'm on my knees always to the wonderful people there, because, of course, it was founded, I think, in 1793, and has been saving stuff ever since. And John and Abigail Adams' letters to each other are all online at the Massachusetts Historical Society, which is just wonderful. But for most of them, it's much more detective work than that. And women's letters often were destroyed by them. Martha Washington, we believe, destroyed all of her own letters with George Washington, or by the men. Thomas Jefferson destroyed his correspondence with his wife. Although I just learned just the other day that Bess Truman destroyed her correspondence.
Really?
And Harry found her and said, Bess, what are you doing? Think of history. And she said, I am.
Smart
so,
woman.
So, or not. But at any rate, so they're not easy to come by. Mercy Otis Warren, the great propagandist of the Revolution, who I'll be talking about tonight in Concord, because they're focusing there on the battles of Lexington and Concord, and she was very active at that period. But she, her letters, her correspondence is also at the Massachusetts Historical Society, but she is somebody that most Americans have never heard of, for instance. And so, but she had published writing, so we have that. We have some people's diaries. We have in very rare cases, for the women, government records.
Hmm. Well, I want to ask you about some of these women. Tell us, Mercy Otis Warren was one of the people I wanted to ask you about because, of course, she's got Boston roots, had an important role in the American Revolution. Tell us something about her.
Well, she was a propagandist. The propagandist we all know of from the American Revolution is Tom Paine.
Mm-hmm.
And she was right there with him, writing plays and poems and pamphlets that the men then used to rile up the civilians and the populace. And they would ask her, write another one, Mercy, you know, so that that people would be resistant to the British. Mm. And she was very, very involved with it. In fact, I was just, when I was sitting outside, checking one of her quotations, which isn't it just wonderful? I could just sit there and do that on my iPhone. But it's, she said, she wrote to her friend Hannah Winthrop, of course, another Bostonian. She was in Plymouth, Mercy was. And so to communicate with somebody in Boston, of course, it was by mail. So that's nice for us a few hundred years later. But she said in early 1774, so this is, you know, before Lexington and Concord, certainly before the Declaration, she said, "Be it known unto Britain, even America's daughters are politicians and patriots and will aid the good work with their female efforts." So these women were very conscious resistors of the British and very ardent patriots, which is remarkable given how hard it was just to get through a day in the 18th century.
Yeah. I want to ask you about Abigail Adams. And in particular, there was a great quote in your book because she wrote to her husband, John Adams, and said, "You know, we women are really better patriots than you men are because we're suffering all of the hardships and making all of the sacrifices for the cause. And if we win, you'll be held in high acclaim, and we won't even be able to vote."
Right. She says, "Patriotism in the female breast is the least self-interested of virtues." And she was very patriotic and very involved in the cause. And he was very reliant on her. He depended on her for political information, for political good sense, because he had none. He had an absolute 10 ear when it came to politics. But the one place where he utterly ignored her, and worse, he actually laughed at her, was when in the spring of 1776, when she had been militating for independence for a year, she had been saying, "What is wrong with you men? For God's sake, declare independence. These British are horrible." And the men were, you know, just having a hard time getting there. And finally, when it looked like it was about to happen, she wrote famously and said, "If we declare our independency, I suppose we will need a new code of laws. And when you do write it, remember the ladies." Mm. And he laughed at her. He said, basically, "Oh, you women really are in charge of everything," which is the ultimate put down.
Mm. And what was she sort of hoping for by "remember the ladies"?
You know, we don't know. There's some people who think she was kidding. I definitely don't think she was kidding because she was, first of all, she wasn't that funny. But secondly, she was very ardent in her support of women's education. Mm. My suspicion is that maybe she was talking about voting because she does talk about voting.
Right, in that quote that we read
earlier.
Right,
in other places.
Yeah.
But and she did also write to Mercy Warren and say, I suggested to John that we remember the lady. So it was contemporaneous. Hmm. Mercy didn't answer her, which is interesting. But she was, I think, most certainly talking about legal rights, because you have to remember that married women were the property of their husbands. They had absolutely no legal rights. They couldn't own anything. They couldn't negotiate anything. The jewelry on their bodies belonged to their husbands. Hmm. Now, everybody ignored it. John Adams was gone for decades, and Abigail bought and sold property, and everybody knew he wasn't anywhere around. But still, the law was that she couldn't do that. And I'm sure as a result of that, we all know that there was abuse, domestic violence, all of that. So I'm sure that she was arguing for legal rights for women, not political rights, which she might have been arguing for.
And I'm curious about how that, to what extent that women sort of made that push public in those days? I mean, as you point out, it would be another 100 years before they won the right to vote. But
more than that, 150.
150. But did the revolutionary fervor extend to a real push for more equality?
Certainly educational equality. Yeah. Definitely educational equality. And she talked about that all the time. In fact, John Adams once had this is how, you know, how tuned in he was. He wrote to her from France as she's back here in Braintree trying to keep body and soul together. There's no money. She's got these four little kids. She's trying to, you know, make some money with things he sends her from Europe. She tries to sell. It's terrible for her. She's living an incredibly difficult life. And he writes to her from Paris and tells her how beautiful and accomplished the women are. And she just immediately shoots back. Hmm. You know, we would be that accomplished if we had better educations. And so after the war, there was a very organized effort, a successful effort to create a lot of women's schools because, of course, this experiment of America was so untried that the founders were sitting there saying, well, okay, here we are. We've got this new thing going, and it's based on consent. And if we're going to have people whose consent we need, those people have to be virtuous citizens. And who's going to raise virtuous citizens? Oh, wait, mothers. Mm-hmm. And so they did start a whole series of female academies after the war. And there were voices, absolutely there were voices calling for women's equality.
Cokie, what are you hoping that children, especially young girls, will take away from reading these stories?
I think it's terribly important that everybody, especially our children, and I think boys as well as girls, understand that the other half of the human race, women, were instrumental and essential in the creation of our country. When I'm talking to children about the book, I always start by saying, you know, those pictures of the Declaration and the Constitution and all of that, is anything missing? And the little boys would just say something ridiculous, you know. They'll say, you know, oh, there's this symbol. I said, what? What are you talking about? You know, and finally some little girl will say, women. There are no women in the pictures. And I'll say to them, well, do you think there were women then? And they all get kind of giggly and nervous because, you know, they finally explained to me that, yes, they had to be women because there wouldn't be men without women. So they seem to know that. You wouldn't know it from reading history. You wouldn't know that women even existed in this period.
Well,
of time.
Thanks to you, Cokie Roberts. We have a much clearer view of that now. Thank you so much for coming in.
So good to be with you.
That's Cokie Roberts, political commentator for ABC News and NPR. Her book is called Founding Mothers Remembering the Ladies.